Today on Annenberg Radio News.
We're losing people out the door right now to other states, and we don't know how soon it's going to bounce back.
Policy experts explain how immigration is changing for California. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for February 23rd, 2010. I'm Megan McCarty. Parents, teachers, and charter school advocates are holding their breath this afternoon as the Los Angeles Unified School District's Board of Education readies to vote on the fate of 30 schools in the district. Timothy Beckworth has been watching the proceedings from a media room outside the board chambers. He filed this report.
Superintendent Ramon C. Cortinez had strong words for struggling schools he says have no clear plan to improve performance.
I have no qualm about Under No Child Left Behind exercising my right to take those schools over and insist that they be included. The status quo is no longer acceptable.
If LAUSD board members approve the public school choice program, control of more than 30 new and struggling schools will be given to a variety of outside groups. Charter school companies, collaborative parent-teacher organizations, and Mayor Villaraigosa's school partnership all submitted proposals for taking over particular campuses. Cortinez spent hours today describing each proposal in detail and either rejecting or recommending them to the board.
By the end of March, Gardena High School must work with the local district office and my office to revise their application.
Ryan Taylor is a former principal of the Inner City Education Foundation for Public Schools. His foundation submitted a proposal to run the Barack Obama Global Leadership Academy.
Over the last several years, we have sent 100% of our kids on to the top 100 colleges and universities in the United States. It would be a shame that we wouldn't have the opportunity to be able to have that impact on South Los Angeles.
Public comment is continuing at this hour, and a vote is expected sometime this afternoon. Timothy Beckworth, Annenberg Radio News.
The city's budget cuts were the topic of this morning's Los Angeles City Council meeting. With the city facing a $212 million deficit, many jobs may be on the line. Skylar Kenny has more.
The Los Angeles Chief Administrative Officer Miguel Santana spoke this morning in front of City Council to announce that additional layoffs may be necessary to balance the city's growing budget deficit.
As I indicated, even the 4,000 elimination of positions will still not get us through what we need to get through for next year.
Last week, City Council voted 9-3 to bring the total number of job cuts to 4,000 by July 1st. Among the areas hit hard, the Department of Recreation and Parks.
But once we identify the 4,000 positions and move forward on those, there will be a reduction in park services. There will be a reduction in library hours.
Councilman Bill Rosendahl says many residents depend on these services. And with many people out of work, he says the cuts will make a bad situation even worse.
And we know that a person goes to a library not only to read, but to get on the computer, to look for jobs, and lots of interaction.
But Santana says the city's public services are facing a harsh reality.
It is impossible to survive the next 18 months without a significant reduction in services, particularly in the areas of parks and library. And the reason is that they're so reliant on the general fund.
The city's general fund allocates most of its money to the police and fire department. Santana says the city must be willing to sacrifice other public services to maintain the city's commitment to public safety.
There's been clear indication by your council that is a priority in terms of a core service that we provide. Then those are the trade-offs that we're making in terms of the smaller percentage that we have left to make cuts in.
Santana and the city council, however, maintain they will give every effort to limit the amount of layoffs in these tough times. Skylar Kenny, Annenberg Radio News.
Pet owners in Los Angeles that have not licensed their animals will soon be in the city's crosshairs. The LA City Council voted unanimously today to go after unregistered dog and horse owners in order to raise money for the bleeding city budget. The city requires that all dogs and horses be licensed by the Department of Animal Services. It's estimated that only one-third of dog owners have registered their pets. Animal Services Assistant General Manager Linda Barth says current registrations generate about $2 million. Councilman Tom LaBond was doing the math at today's meeting.
So that's one-third. So if we had the ideal world, you would bring in another $4 million.
That's correct.
Which would help you in animal services in this terrible budget.
And with spay-neuter, yes.
Okay.
The plan approved by the council will cross-reference the Department of Water and Power's dog database with that of Animal Services. Notices will then be sent to delinquent pet owners. Los Angeles will show solidarity with four East Coast students this weekend. They're walking 1,500 miles from Florida to Washington, D.C. to support immigration reform. As Asim Barwani reports, Los Angeles will be walking on Saturday.
Korean organization NACASEC, the National Korean American Service and Education Consortium, is sponsoring an 18-mile walk this Saturday. The walk will start in Koreatown at 8 a.m. and move through East L.A. before returning at 5 p.m. The 18-mile walk is being held to raise awareness for immigration reform and the DREAM Act. A version of the DREAM Act was introduced to Congress in 2001 to allow undocumented immigrants to become legal so long as they met certain criteria. But even after Congress has discussed it numerous times, it hasn't passed in nearly a decade. Organizers of this weekend's event are unhappy with the way the country is handling illegal immigration.
This law is broken, and we desperately need comprehensive immigration reform.
Reverend Bertie C. Roberts is with CLU, Clergy and Laity United for Economic Justice. She feels the 18-mile walk will bring the city's minority groups together, as they have all shared the same kinds of family struggles.
Literally, families are being ripped apart. Children are coming home from school, and their parents have been taken away, without due process, without the ability to interact with them in a legal framework.
Walkers hope they will raise enough awareness to have Congress consider bringing the DREAM Act up for another vote. If the DREAM Act passes, it would grant citizenship to thousands of people. Those included are people who have been in the U.S. for at least the last 5 years, are under the age of 35, and have earned a high school diploma or GED. Cindy Bendezu would benefit from the DREAM Act and is one of the people walking this weekend.
It really benefit our families who want this to pass, who have been waiting and who have been working hard in this country to have rights.
She feels citizenship is something she deserves. Those students on the East Coast feel the same way. They have been walking 18 miles each day since January 1st. They plan to hit 1,500 miles by May 1st. If you're interested in taking part in this weekend's walk, visit www.krcla.org/trail. Asim Barwani, Annenberg Radio News.
The birth rate among teenagers in California fell to an all-time low in 2008. The Department of Public Health says 35 babies were born for every 1,000 women between the ages of 15 and 19. Asian teens had the lowest birth rates, and Hispanic teens had the highest. The national rate is 42 births for every 1,000 teens. Tonight, expect partly cloudy skies with lows in the 50s. Tomorrow, there will be mostly cloudy weather with a chance of rain in the afternoon and highs in the 60s. Wednesday night, it will be cloudy with a chance of rain and lows in the 40s. Thursday, we'll see cloudy skies and highs in the 60s. Later on Annenberg Radio News. Insurance holders protest Anthem Blue Cross's rising premiums. Immigration has long been a hot-button issue in California. While some may think immigration is on the rise, the opposite is true. As Christy Birch reports, this may have a negative impact on California.
USC professor and demographer Dal Myers has been looking at migration trends in California for many years. He says his first job is to get the facts straight.
So there's lots of reasons to think that immigration has gone through a one-time surge and is now leveled off at a low level.
Myers is critical of politicians who continue to play on people's fears about immigration.
But you might not know it from political rhetoric. What you hear is that immigration is at record levels and this and that. Well, that's by alarmists and, you know, restrictionists who want to scare the voters into, like, putting up a wall.
Historically, California was a state filled with immigrants and migrants from other states. But now, people are not moving to California.
Why would you come here when you could go to Arkansas or go to Atlanta, Georgia, or go to Houston, Texas, where house prices are a third?
Without young new residents coming to the state, Myers says California must rely on who already lives here.
And most dramatic is L.A. County, where the number of newcomers by 2000 was back to the level it was in 1980. And today, the level of newcomers is about 30% lower.
Myers says Californians must work together to ensure young people with education and better job opportunities.
Immigration has dropped so far, and now the homegrown is what we got. And that's a mindset change that has not sunk in to the California voter. They don't really realize that we're on an island together and we're self-reliant on our homegrown population.
As the baby boomers start to retire, Myers says the young population is what will save the state and make California more attractive to people coming from other states. Christy Birch, Annenberg Radio News.
The television network Univision, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and the federal government are teaming up to boost academic success among Hispanics. They've launched a campaign called The Moment Is Now. It's a multi-million dollar effort to educate parents on ways their kids can attend and afford college. Hispanic teens graduate below the national average. Anthem Blue Cross executives came under fire as California legislators questioned their practices in Sacramento today. Blue Cross raised premiums last week for the nearly 700,000 individual policyholders. Insurance Commissioner Steve Poizner claims they broke the law over 700 times. Patients and medical professionals protested Blue Cross's rising costs at the company headquarters in Woodland Hills today. Paula Kozowski talked with protesters about their concerns. How is all this negative attention on Anthem Blue Cross affecting?
We'll have that story later.
We'll have that story for you later. The controversy over Anthem's rate hikes in California has become a rallying point in the national healthcare debate. Tomorrow, the U.S. House of Representatives will question Anthem's parent company, WellPoint. For insight on how the insurance giant is influencing the national dialogue, I spoke earlier today with Shana Alex Lavareda. She's the director of health insurance studies at UCLA. The national healthcare debate?
Well, it's really shown a spotlight on the problems in the individual market and the reasons why they need healthcare reform. And so we have, you know, Congress, our representatives in Congress, Waxman and Feinstein talking about it. And then we also have on the executive side, Kathy Sebelius and Obama himself talking about it. It seems to be the basis of a new proposal, which is something new to the bills that isn't in there right now, which would create a new federal agency that would review any proposed rate increases by private insurance companies. And, you know, according to the criteria that would be set up, would determine whether or not those were legitimate increases before they could just go through.
How legitimate is the issue raised by Anthem Blue Cross that they have to raise premiums for the individuals because only the very expensive people are buying plans, the young and the healthy or the cheap to insure people aren't buying plans? How significant is that and legitimate in their defense?
I think that that is one of the major reasons why they decided to increase their rates. I mean, they're a for-profit business. They probably do have a good argument that the young and healthy were then deciding that they would, you know, take the risk and forego health insurance coverage because they couldn't afford it. And you get into this underwriting death spiral where if you have the sicker people staying in the pool, the people who really need it, it increased costs for everybody. And so even if you accept Anthem's arguments and say, well, that makes a lot of sense from a business perspective, you know, I think there's still a very strong argument for these shouldn't be the incentives in health insurance. It is a public health concern. It is a public good that government should highly regulate. And we should have additional rules on health insurers so that they won't have the incentive to try and make more money off of the backs of sick people.
And how would the current iterations of health care reform that are, you know, in the House and the Senate and things that are being talked about now that those bills have stalled, how would those affect premium costs for these individual policyholders that are at stake in this Anthem Blue Cross issue?
The bills that are in play right now, they don't include any kind of controls on premiums until we get to the health insurance exchange 5 years from now or 4 years from now. The good news is that the reform that goes into play immediately, that no pre-existing conditions, would really increase competition in the marketplace.
Great. Thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Oh, sure. Thank you.
Now back to that story on the protest at Blue Cross headquarters in Woodland Hills. Paula Kazowski has the story.
It's not fair! It's not fair! It's not fair!
Several dozens of patients and physical therapists protested outside the Anthem Blue Cross building in Woodland Hills. They held up signs with slogans like Profit Above Patient and Anthem Doesn't Care.
I don't think they really care. If they really cared, they wouldn't be doing this.
Jim Shapiro has had Blue Cross insurance for more than 30 years. He's angry that Anthem raised premiums by 39% for California patients.
When I heard about this and that's what they were doing to me, I was really appalled and I just said, listen, I need to be there too.
He says the hikes are unfair to physical therapists and their patients. Pat Lopker has been getting physical therapy over the last year. His premium 9 years ago was $389 a month.
I just got raised up. My new premium is $1,100 a month for two people. Well, it's tough. It's tough to make ends meet when you're doing that.
Cuts have been tough on the patients and the therapists who say it costs more to provide therapy than Blue Cross is offering to pay.
It's impossible to be able to provide the quality of care that we feel our patients need and still be able to pay our bills.
The cuts have physicians and patients worried they won't be able to get quality health care. We contacted Anthem Blue Cross. They did not return our calls. Paula Kosofsky, Annenberg Radio News.
The Board of Supervisors approved a plan that will train teachers in suicide prevention. The program calls for designing a suicide prevention website for 81 school districts. The Department of Mental Health says the training could reach millions affiliated with LA schools. Suicide is the third leading cause of death among people ages 15 to 24. Toyota recalls are still a hot topic after Consumer Reports recommended only half as many Toyota vehicles as it did last year. The magazine's annual auto issue still holds Toyota in high esteem, even after Toyota recalled more than 8 million cars for acceleration problems. Honda and Subaru tied as best all-around vehicle makers, followed by Toyota and Hyundai. Nissan and Volkswagen tied for fourth place, with Chrysler in last. Now we check in with Trevor Thompson to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision. Trevor?
Speaking of Toyota, their head of U.S. operations came under serious fire today in front of Congress. We'll have more about that. And in Los Angeles, an important ACLU figure decided to step down. What kind of impact is that going to have on the union's future? And in lighter news, back here on campus, some seniors are busy unveiling their parting gift to the school.
Thanks, Trevor. That's it for this Tuesday. We had help today from Stephanie Guzman. Karen Marcus is our producer. Timothy Beckworth and Richie Duchon are the executive producers. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Megan McCarty. Have a great day.